That are related to the daytime Kiddush, right? What we call, what's the fancy name that the Gemara gives for the daytime Kiddush? For example, Kiddusha Rabba, right? That's what we call a Lashon Sagi Nohar. Why is it a Lashon Sagi Nohar? Right, so we call it the Kiddusha Rabba, the great Kiddush, because it's not such a great Kiddush, it's just what? What is, I'm sorry, what is the Kiddush? What is the content of the daytime Kiddush? Borei Pri Hagafen. Right, the Gemara discusses, I believe it was Rav Ashi. He went to a place and they said to him, "Oh, Rav Ashi, the Gadol Hador, let him come and make the Kiddusha Rabba. You make Kiddush for everybody." And he felt a little bit awkward. He was thinking, "Well, where I come from, Kiddush during the day is just Borei Pri Hagafen, and here they want me to make this big Kiddush." So he wasn't sure what to do. So he figured he'd give it a shot. Start off with Borei Pri Hagafen, and hopefully they'll help him along as he goes. So he took the kos and he said Borei Pri Hagafen, and then he saw an elderly gentleman in the back take his kos that he had in his hand and he drank from it. So he realized, it must be Kiddusha Rabba is a Lashon Sagi Nohar, that they call it that because it's short. So he realized that. Tosfos raised a cute shiloh over there. He says, wait a second, isn't that bad manners? The Gemara says that you're not allowed to be toim Ad she yatim ha-mevarich, right? You can't drink or eat or anything like that until the person who makes the bracha, who's being motzi you, eats or drinks. So how is this elderly gentleman in the back drinking his wine if Rav Ashi didn't drink his wine? You understand the question? So that's the question also when you make a hamotzi, you're dividing out the challah and everything like that. Really, everyone is supposed to wait until the mevarich partakes in the challah first, and then they can partake afterwards. So Tosfos gives a teretz that it's not exactly what the Shulchan Aruch says. Tosfos gives a teretz that it's fine. If you have your own kos, then it's not considered bad manners if somebody makes Borei Pri Hagafen and you're being yotzei with the bracha and you're going to drink from your own kos. So then it's not bad manners to drink before the mevarich drinks. It's only bad manners if you're reaching out and grab, the guy makes a Borei Pri Hagafen, you grab the kos out of his hand and pour it into your own cup or drink out of it, and then you hand it back to him. That's bad manners. So that's what you're not allowed to do. So similarly, the Tosfos says that when it relates to making hamotzi, if the person makes hamotzi and then you reach over and grab your piece of challah before the mevarich has from the challah, that's not acceptable. But for the mevarich to give out the challah, if he hands you a piece of challah, or if you have your own lechem mishnah, let's say, and your yotzei with his bracha, then you're allowed to eat first. I believe the Shulchan Aruch doesn't agree with that part of Tosfos. Shulchan Aruch paskins that really, even if the mevarich hands out the challah first, before he partakes, you should really wait until he eats from his piece, till you eat from yours. But nevertheless, Tosfos definitely says that you can have as soon as the guy gives it to you. You don't have to wait until he actually eats from his challah. Okay, either way, that is the one of the source for the name Kiddusha Rabba, the great Kiddush that we make during the day. Now, there are a lot of elements to this Kiddush that are good discussions in halacha, but the main discussion I wanted to have starts with the issue of Kiddush B'makom Su'uda. Right, so the problem of Kiddush B'makom Su'uda really only presents itself during the day. Why doesn't it present itself at night? Because just practically speaking, we don't go to kiddushes at night. Right? We daven in shul, and then we go home and we have our Friday night su'uda. We don't start eating at a random kiddush on the way home. At least, I don't know, are you familiar with such things? You've been?
Yeah, there's a house and it has a kiddush.
So let's hopefully clarify whether or not that's a very good idea. So that's not a good idea. Don't mention which house it's in to anybody else, but it's not a good idea for a number of halachic reasons. I'd give you two basic reasons. I'll start with the less fancy reason why it's not such a good idea. That the minhag Yisrael is that we don't when we make kiddush on Friday night, it's dafka at the Friday night meal. We don't make separate kiddushes outside of the context of the Friday night meal. And we talked this morning about minhagim, so I don't know exactly what this status of this minhag would be, but the Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, for example, it's quoted in the Halicho Shlomo on the bottom where they tell over some personal story sometimes. You see the Sefer Halichos Shlomo? Very worthwhile Sefer. And in the volume on Simchas Torah, the one that has on the Yamim Noraim, so it talks about in Yeshivas Kol Torah, which was where Shlomo Zalman Auerbach's yeshiva, they used to have Hakafos regular time. He didn't go for this new... Nowadays, a lot of the yeshivas change up the order of the Hakafos. They'll first daven Ma'ariv, then they'll go eat the Seuda for Yantif, and then they'll come back so they can have nice, festive, lengthy hakafos, and nobody has to worry about it going too late into the night, and they're hungry, and whatever. And this way, everybody's well-fed, and everybody's satisfied, and then they have that kafos. So Shlomo Zalman didn't like that. He said, the minhag Yisrael is to, that's when you have a posek for your Rosh Yeshiva. It's not always as convenient. So Shlomo Zalman thought it was better to follow the standard Jewish practice of having hakafos first. And a lot of the Talmidim were very thirsty during the Hakafos, and they said, Rebbe, are we allowed to make Kiddush and then have a little bit of a drink and a bite to eat, and then we'll come back to the Hakafos? And Shlomo Zalman said he did not think that it was permissible to make Kiddush, even on Lel Simchas Torah, before the actual Seuda, because the Minhag Yisrael developed that we don't make a Kiddush Friday. We make Kiddush Friday night, and we make Kiddush on Lel Yantif. We don't make a Kiddush. So he didn't like the idea of just eating what we call in Halacha, Minei Targima. Didn't like the idea of eating mizonos for a kiddush under those circumstances. But where does this come from? It comes from the Gemara, which discusses ein kiddush ela b'makom seuda. So the main Gemara that discusses Psachim on Kuf on the base, they go back and forth. Do we require kiddush b'makom seuda? Do we not require kiddush b'makom seuda? And the Rishonim came out all paskin that we require kiddush b'makom seuda. So the kiddush must be made in a place where you are eating a meal. So what is the reason why we require Kiddush B'Makom Seuda? Anybody ever heard a reason given for Kiddush B'Makom Seuda? So the Rashbam, who is one of is Rashi's grandson, has a commentary obviously on Chumash, and he is the actual main commentary on Perek Arvei Psachim, even more so than Rashi himself. I don't know what the details into the origins of why we learn Rashbam on Arvei Psachim versus Rashi, but for whatever reason, the Rashi in Arvei Psachim is not as exciting as Rashi is in the rest of Shas. So I'm not sure if it's a different edition of Rashi or if it's there's something else. I never looked into it. But if you look at a standard Amid of Gemara in Perek Arvei Psachim, it says there's Rashi and there's a Rashbam, and generally speaking, we learn Rashbam as the Iker Perish. It doesn't mean you should ignore the Rashis, but you should read the Rashis also. But the Rashbam is the Iker Perish. So Rashbam gives two reasons why we have a din of Kiddush B'Makom Seuda. So I read you the Lashon of the Rashbam. It says, Kiddush Parshinon Taimei Lekamei in Kiddush B'Makom Seuda. Dechsiv quotes the Pasuk in Yeshayo, V'Karasa LaShabbos Oneg. Right, that you're probably familiar with that pasuk. There are a number of halachos of Shabbos that are learned out from that one pasuk. Right, so Oneg Shabbos learned out from that one pasuk, and the rest of it is also we learn out the din of Mimtso Cheftzicha V'Daber Davar. Another issue that is very important to know about on Shabbos, but not for today. So he says, what do we learn out from the pasuk of a Karasa LaShabbos Oneg B'Makom Shata Kore LaShabbos, in the place where you call the Shabbos? Kilomar kriyad kiddush. How do we call the Shabbos? We make kiddush. So in the place where you make kiddush, shom tehe oneg. There you should have oneg. That's reason number one. So it's based on the pasuk when the Chachamim instituted the idea of kiddush makam suda. They based it on the pasuk of a karasa Shabbos oneg, and they said where you call the Shabbos, you make kiddush, you should have oneg. Should also what is? How do we define oneg? Eating probably some kind of a bread situation, right? You guys probably talked about this in Gemara Sukkah. Am I right? The discussion of are you allowed to fast on Yantif? Did you discuss that sugya at all? No. Sheet the Machlokes, Rabbi Eliezer, and the Chachamim in the Mishnah was on Chav Zayin, Amin Aleph, Chav Zayin. I forgot. Maybe we'll do that tomorrow. Good. Okay. So there's a discussion over there about what does it mean on Yantif? Are you because there the Chacham say you have to one second, just to back up one second.
Reb Lezer holds you have to have two meals a day every day of Sukkos. And that's a requirement, and you have to basically equal that amount of meals in your sukkah for the entirety of Yontif. And the Chacham say, Ein ledavar kitzvah chutz milele rishon bilvad. Right? There's only one meal that you're obligated to have in the sukkah, and that is the first night of Sukkos, right? What's that based on? Tezvav. So that you did discuss, right? Yeah, so that you did discuss. There's a special din of eating in the sukkah on the first night of Sukkos as a hekesh, a gzeres shava, with the first night of Pesach. Good. Then, but the Tosfos asked the kasha, the Chacham said, Ein ledavar kitzvah, you don't have to eat if you don't want to. How could that be? The Gemara then goes on and discusses what is the source for each one. And they're both learning it out from the same place. Teishvu kein taduru. That you're supposed to live in the sukkah the same way you live the rest of the year. So you say. So Rabbi Elazar says, yeah, the rest of the year, how many meals a day do you eat? Two. Right? We're machmir in America, we eat three. But in the times of Chazal, they ate two meals a day. So they said, yeah, breakfast. Or no, they don't have breakfast. They had what they called pas shachris. It was like a small, very small breakfast. Also a sukkah topic, right? In terms of knowing how much you're chayav to eat in the sukkah, what does the Gemara say? I think it's a bayishita. Gidetoim bar be rav ayil kala. That's the lashon of the Gemara there. So what is he talking about over there? Right, you want to so Rashi over there explains that they used to have good post shear hak, right? They used to stay after shear to talk to the Rebbe. So the Bnei Torah, when they were going to shear, they would stuff some food into their mouth. So they would. So how much food is that? How much was it equal to according to the Rashi? What? It was how much food was it that they would stuff into their mouth? So the Rush says it was a kibetza, right? Because the Beis Habli is machzik a kibetza. Don't try that at home. So the Beis Habli, it probably means a raw egg. So the Beis Habli, don't try to swallow a hard boiled egg. So they used to stuff some food into their mouth on the way to shear so that the little breakfast that they had would carry them over to a little bit after the shear was over and they had lunch. So they used to have lunch, they used to have dinner. That was the whole thing. That's also how we learned we're supposed to wait 6 hours because of the Gemara in Shabbos that says the Sudas Talmud Chacham was at Chatzos, right? And the standard day was they would eat lunch at 12, they'd have a little bit of Pashachris, then they'd eat lunch at 12, and then they'd eat dinner when it got dark. So let's call that 6 p.m. So that was the way they went from one meal to another. So that's L'chorah the Pshat. And when Mar Okva says, I wait till the next meal, so Mar Okva was Talmud Chacham, so they surmised that he was referring to the Sudas Talmud Chacham was noon, and then they would wait noon till sundown when they would eat their next meal. So that's how they got the 6 hour business from. But anyway, going back to this, so we had, so Tosfos raises the issue, say Teshuva came to do it, according to Rabbi Eliezer, he says that it means you have to eat two meals a day in the sukkah. And the Chacham say, what does Teshuva came to do mean? It says, Iboy achil, Iboy lo achil. Just like when you're at home, you can choose to eat, you can choose to not eat. So Frank Tosfos, what are you talking about? You choose to eat or not eat? You have to eat, it's Yontif. So Tosfos over there says, no, you could choose to not eat bread. You could eat something else. You're not allowed to fast on Yontif, but you could eat peiros, you could eat basar. You don't have to eat bread on Yontif. That is that's Tosfos in Sukkah. There's a conflicting Tosfos in Brachos, who says, of course you have to eat bread on Yontif. What are you talking about? You ever heard of the mitzvah of oneg Yontif? So that's Tosfos' discussion in Brachos. He disagrees with the Tosfos in Sukkah. But either way, that's where the whole concept of Oneg is referring dafka to a bread meal. And when we talk about Oneg Shabbos, so we're talking about a bread meal. So perhaps it would say, you would think that it says, Koras l'Shabbos Oneg, v'makom shata korei l'Shabbos, klomar, kriya de kiddush, sham tehei Oneg. That's one possibility. Yeah? Is Oneg meat and wine? So... maybe. Well, so one second. Simcha on Yontif is a discussion. Maybe you have to have meat and wine on Yontif, right? So that would be a chiv. Oneg is generally related to the concept of bread. For example, there's the first tshuva in Chalson Tshuvas Rabbi Akiva Eger. He talks about if a woman forgets Yalav Yavo in benching on Yontif, does she have to repeat the benching? So Rabbi Kiva Eger there differentiates between the obligation of oneg yantif and the obligation of simchas yantif. Right? Very often, when I was in yeshiva, people would often misquote that shuvas Rabbi Kiva Eger. It's the first one, so it's not a good one to misquote. Like people are going to look up the first one in the sefer, right? So Rabbi Kiva Eger specifically says, I'm not talking about simchas yantif. Simchas yantif might be relevant to meat and wine. I'm talking about oneg yantif, which means washing and benching. Right, because this you probably also know from learning sukkah as part of the same sugya, right? That what is the halacha if you forget yalav yavo? Do you have to repeat the benching? So right, exactly. It depends if you were chayiv to eat a meal or not. If you were chayiv to eat a meal and you forgot yalav yavo, then you have to repeat it. If you weren't chayiv to eat a meal, if you were just chayiv to not fast, then you do have to repeat. Then you don't have to repeat the benching. Right, so Rabbi Kiva Eger suggests, yes, women might, they're not allowed to fast, but they don't necessarily have to eat bread. And therefore, if they forget Yalav Yavo, they don't have to repeat the benching, he says, except for one meal, which is first night of Pesach, because they are chayiv to eat a kezias of matzah, min haTorah. And therefore, memela, they're chayiv in that meal. That's a bit of a chiddush also. You might have split the chiyuv and said, yeah, they're chayiv to eat matzah, but that's mitam the mitzvah of achilas matzah. That's not mitam the mitzvah of oneg yantif. But nevertheless, he thinks it's one and the same. Yeah?
Does that apply in Rosh Chodesh too?
So in Rosh Chodesh, are you chayiv to eat a bread meal on Rosh Chodesh? So there is a sif in Shulchan Aruch, in case you ever need a quick Dvar Torah, a whole sif in Shulchan Aruch says, mitzvah laharbos besudas Rosh Chodesh. Right, so that there's a mitzvah to eat a little bit more on Rosh Chodesh, and certainly it's a nice thing if you want to make an official bread su'uda, but I don't think there's a chiv to eat a bread su'uda. If you want to just have whatever you enjoy eating for a meal, so then you're good to go with that. So if you would forget Yalav Yavo on Rosh Chodesh, benching, then you wouldn't repeat it. When do you forget Yalav Yavo? If you forget Yalav Yavo in Shmona Esrei, then it also depends. What does it depend on? Which tefillah? If it's Shachris or Mincha, then you have to repeat the Shmona Esrei. And if it's Maariv, you don't have to repeat the Shmona Esrei.
This only applies to women.
No, this applies to everybody. What I just said applies to everybody. Women, the interesting thing is, at least in Rabbi Kiva Eger's opinion, not everybody agrees to that, but I think that's the standard view. I think the Shagas Aryeh disagrees with that idea of Rabbi Kiva Eger. But I think the standard psak is that if a woman forgets Yalav Yavo in benching on Yantif, she doesn't repeat the benching unless it's the first night of Pesach. Okay, it's easy to remember it on the first night of Pesach because most people are benching out of a Haggadah. So it's probably there in big letters to keep going with the Yalav Yavo. Okay, so back to our topic. So we were saying that on when it comes to Kiddush Makom Suda, so maybe it's based on the Karasa L'Shavas Oneg. Possibility number two, Inami, says the Rashbam. Svarahi, it's just a logical idea. Mide ikva kiddush al hayayin kiddetanya lekaman zochreyu al hayayin mistama al hayayin shebishas asuda hukva dechashiv. Right, so they made a din. You're supposed to make kiddush on a cup of wine. Generally speaking, if the accepted opinion is that kiddush is min haTorah, the concept of kiddush at least on Friday night is min haTorah. However, kiddush al hakos is only midirabbanan. That's the Rambam's opinion. It's the generally accepted opinion. Yeah.
Are there things that you can be yotzei davening on Friday night here?
Yes, min haTorah. The Rabbi Kiva Eger has a comment there, and I think everybody agrees that min haTorah you're yotzei with words, unless you hold like a minority opinion in the Gemara Nedarim that kiddush al hakos is actually min haTorah. But generally speaking, the accepted view is that kiddush with words is midoraisa, and kiddush al hakos is midorabban. So when they made the chi of al hakos, were they referring to a specific kos, or they're just saying any kos? So the second opinion in the Rashbam says that they were referring to the kos that you have at the beginning of your meal. So what's the difference between the first reason and the second reason? So many have suggested that according to the first reason of the Rashbam, even though I suggested that oneg refers dafka to bread, maybe it's not bread as in challah bread, maybe it's bread as in any type of pasabah b'kisnin, any type of meal that would give you a little bit of oneg, a little bit of pleasure, right? As opposed to the second reason says that no, when they made kiddush makom suda, they meant the suda. the meals that you're chayiv to eat on Shabbos. So if you say Kiddush Makom Suda is referring to dafka, the Shabbos meal, so you have to make the Kiddush Makom Suda has to be on a real bread meal. It can't just be on a little bit of crackers or cake or something like that. So some want to suggest that's these two reasons in the Rashbam are differentiating what you actually have to eat in order to be Yotzei Kiddush Makom Suda. Do you have to have, you can just have a little snack of mezonos, or do you actually have to have a bread meal? So that's a discussion in the Rishonim as well. If you look in Tosfos, so Tosfos on Kuf Aleph, Amid Aleph in Meseches Psachim says that Nira Dehainu Te'imas Lechem, when it comes to eating a little bit of something after Kiddush, he's talking about bread. The Gemara doesn't make it sound like bread. They say Lashon of the Te'imo Midi, you should taste something. Have a little something to eat. But Tosa says, yeah, have a little bread to eat. Don't have a little something. Don't put a sucking candy in your mouth and say, yeah, that's Kiddush Makom Suda. No, it means to have bread. So that is the opinion of Tosfos. However, the Torah quotes the Geonim who say that Kiddush Makom Suda doesn't mean have to be a real meal. This is the Lashon of the Torah. Ela afilu achol davar muat oshasa kos yayin shechayev alav bracha yatsa Kiddush. V'gomer suudasa b'makom acher. So he says, even if you just want to have a snack, or if, let's say you don't have the ability to have a snack, just drink a revius of the wine. Says if you drink enough wine, that would be mechayev you in an ala gefen. That's already enough to be yotzei kiddush b'makom suda. Yeah.
Does that have anything to do with why you make kiddush on shul on a Friday night?
That is well. This whole sugya gets started because of the issue of making kiddush in shul on Friday night. Meaning, the Gemara was discussing in those days they used to make kiddush in shul because there were guests who would come and they would eat in the shul, so they would make kiddush for them at the end of davening. And many shuls follow the opinions that are quoted in the Rishonim, like the Ran and others, quote that the minhag stands that you're supposed to continue to make kiddush in shul, even though nobody's staying behind to eat in the shul. I don't know, do they make kiddush in shul here on Friday night? Yeah, so many shuls have that minhag that they make kiddush in shul after Friday night Marv, because just mitam minog, not based on the fact that anybody needs it. So they get a little stuck in terms of who's going to drink the wine, because they say you're not really allowed to drink the wine. This is all coming out straight out of the Gemara in Arvi Pesachim, that who's going to drink the wine, because you're not allowed to eat any or drink anything before you make kiddush. So okay, so but I am making kiddush, yeah, but you're not going to eat a meal, you're not even going to have a snack, so you're a little stuck. So when you're having Kiddush Makom Suda, so you're at least yotzei the Kiddush, and retroactively it was permissible for you to drink the wine. But here you have the problem that if you're not going to be yotzei the mitzvah of Kiddush because you're not having anything to eat, so it's not Kiddush Makom Suda, so then you're going to drink the wine, and you're not yotzei anything with that Kiddush. So Mimela, you weren't allowed to drink the wine. So the Gaonim would say, sure, just make sure you drink a whole revius, and then you're okay. So they have to make a bracha achrona. How do we try to circumvent that problem? They probably do this in the shul also, is that you get a katan who is old enough to pay attention, so you're making the bracha on his behalf, mitzam the mitzvah of chinuch. So you have a katan who's not really... The problem many poskim have with this issue is that it's not so clear that such a katan exists. Meaning you have a kid who's... You get two types of kids listening to Kiddush, right? You get a kid who's old enough that he actually pays attention to every word of the Kiddush, answers Amen properly, and he's Yotzei, the brachos. But that kid is probably also old enough to be told, don't eat before davening. Right? Now, I don't know, I see a lot of kids who are in there, way above bar mitzvah, who don't know you're not allowed to eat before davening. I meant Kiddush. No, like sometimes the kid, a guy will be walking out of shul, pop a sucking candy into his mouth, and like, a good guy, not a guy, if he knew any better, he wouldn't do it. It's just second nature, I guess, that I just thought it was a strange thing. Like, it's pretty, it's a real din. You're not supposed to eat before Kiddush. So sometimes you'll have a kid who's a little too old, so he should also not be eating before Kiddush. Sometimes, and the younger kids who you would allow to eat before Kiddush, they don't pay attention to the bracha. So you're not really making a bracha. So if you're going to make a bracha for the kid and he's not really listening, so that's a bracha levatala. There's no chinuch there. So you have this problem on Motzai Shabbos during the 9 days also. They like to give to the Ramah recommends giving the wine to a katan to drink from the, because you're not supposed to drink wine during the 9 days. So Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, he drank his own wine during the 9 days, because the Ramah says if you can't find a katan to drink the wine, you should just drink it yourself. And Rav Shlomo Zalman held that bizmanenu, it's not so easy to find such a katan. Maybe the attention spans are shorter or whatever it is, but the kids who are young enough that we wouldn't mind, you know, having them either in the case of Kish Makam Suda, we would allow them to eat before Kiddush, or in the case of the 9 days, they're too young to be taught about being Misabel on Yerushalayim. So those kids are too young to pay attention, and the kids who are old enough to pay attention are old enough to know that they shouldn't be drinking the wine. So it's a little iffy. But Lamaisa, that's a, you know, if you're ever in a position of power in a shul that makes Kiddush, so you should make sure the kids who line up to get the Kiddush wine pay attention. So that's the ikar, is they should be listening and answering amen to the bracha. So, okay, whatever. So this is the machlokes between Tosfos and the Gaonim. According to Tosfos, it seems you would actually have to have a real bread meal to be able to kish makam suda. So a Shabbos morning kiddush would not be sufficient. Whereas, according to the Gaonim, you don't even necessarily have to have mazonos. Mazonos is good, but b'diavad, you could be yotze with a revius of wine. It's not such a big deal. So this is the machlokes rishonim, and some want to suggest that that's actually the machlokes is based on the two reasons quoted in the Rashbam. According to the reason of the karasa l'shabbos oneg, so you could be yotze with any kind of oneg. It doesn't have to be like the mitzvah of oneg Shabbos. It could be yotze with anything. Whereas according to the second reason of the Gaonim, no, they dafka u'misakin kiddush al hakos at the meal. So this has to be a meal that you can be yotze seudas Shabbos. It's not just a meal to give it a little bit of oomph to the kiddush, right? And that's the lundish hakira they give to it is that what is the goal, right? Some want to say it over. Is it ain kiddush el b'makom suda or ain suda el b'makom kiddush, right? Which that's a melitza. That's not really it. The answer is number one, but it's just a way to remember the difference in terms of how you analyze it. So kiddush b'makom suda means that we want your kiddush to be emphasized a little bit more. It shouldn't just be a quick throwback, a shot of whatever. It should be something substantive, substantial. Right, so you have a kiddush and then you eat a little bit too, so that you could be yotze with just some crackers and some cake and a little bit of cholent or whatever it is, right? However, if you say that it's the kiddush makam suuda is not a din dafka to enhance the kiddush, but rather it's that when they were koveya kiddush ala kos, they were koveya it as the intro to the meal. So what follows should be the meal. It has to be specifically that it's a real bread meal that you're yotze the mitzvah of Seudas Shabbos with. So that, the Shabbos morning kiddush would not suffice. So based on this, this is the fancier reason why not to be yotze on Friday night. So based on this, the Rav Soloveitchik wanted to suggest an interesting chumrah that comes out of it. So he said that the reason we're not yotze with a kiddush on Friday night is not like Rav Shlomo Zalman, that it's just not the min of Yisrael. He says, no, it's more than that. He says, because the Shulchan Aruch is lenient, as you probably guessed. The Shulchan Aruch is meiko. I'll quote you the Lashon in Siman Reish Ayin Gimel Sif Hey. Kaswa Gaonim Hadein Kiddush El Makam Suda Filu Achal Davar Muad Oshasa Kost Yayin Shechayev Lav Bracha Yatsa Yidei Kiddush Makam Suda Vigomer Sudas Makam Acher Vidafka Achal Lechem Oshasa Yayin Aval Achal Peiros Lo. So he says, you don't have to eat a lot. You just have to have some bread or some wine, but peiros is not enough. Okay, so the poskim say he's not talking about dafka bread, because even pasavah bekisnin is good enough, right? So that's acceptable as well. But it sounds from the Shulchan Aruch like he's all in with the Gaonim, but it's not necessarily 100% clear. It could be that sort of Soloveitchik wanted to suggest that the Shulchan Aruch is, yeah, he definitely paskins in favor of the Gaonim, but it's not taking the Gaonim in a vacuum. It's a little bit of what we would call a sveik-sveika, meaning there's a second shita out there to keep in mind. There is a machlokes between the Rambam and the Ravid by the daytime kiddush. Is there an isser to eat before the daytime kiddush? So there is an isser to eat before the nighttime kiddush, according to all the Rishon. But what about the daytime kiddush? Daytime kiddush, as we started off pointing out, it's not actually nearly as big of a deal. Nighttime kiddush is deraisa. Daytime kiddush is definitely derabanan. and it's not nearly as big of a deal in as the nighttime kiddush. So did they institute an isser to eat before the daytime kiddush as well? The Rambam says yes, there is an isser to eat before the daytime kiddush, and the Ravid says no isser to eat before the daytime kiddush. So according to the Ravid, you wouldn't really need to have kiddush b'makom suda anyway if you want to go to a kiddush, because you don't even have to be yotzei kiddush at the kiddush. No problem. Friday night, you have to be yotzei kiddush. So our Soloveitchik suggested the reason that we're so makel, and maybe even the reason the Shulchan Aruch is makel at the daytime kiddush, and we rely on the Gaonim, is based on a sveik sveik. It's not based only on the Shitas HaGaonim. He said, because suvig number one, maybe the Gaonim are right, and you could be yotzei with a snack or some wine. Or suffix number two, maybe the Ravid is right, and during the day, it's no problem. So even if Tosfos is right, even if you really have to have bread, so what? So worst case scenario, all you did was eat before Kiddush, which the Ravid holds, is fine. So that's why it's okay to have a Kiddush on Shabbos morning. But Friday night, you don't have that shita of the Ravid as a throw-in. You don't have that shita of the Ravid to rely on. So maybe the Gaonim are right, and you could be yotzei kiddush makom suda with just a snack. But maybe Tosfos is right, and you actually have to have bread. And under those circumstances, you have yourself a problem. Because if the Tosfos is right, then you weren't yotzei kiddush makom suda at the nighttime kiddush, and you violated the isser of eating before Kiddush. Because now you're going to go home. You have to make Kiddush again. So everything you ate before was eating before Kiddush. Yeah?
Why are the two machlokas considered like double suffix? It's not like a question on the status. It's a question on who's correct on the machloket. That would make it a double suffix.
Yeah. Yeah. Generally, when there's a machlokas in halacha, if both opinions are considered very valid opinions, like a yesh omrim in the Shulchan Aruch, so we can put the two, if the two issues overlap, sometimes they don't overlap.
Right.
So if they overlap in a legitimate fashion, then we can make that into what we call a svek sveka.
I thought it was more on like the status of on whether, let's say, like something would be like kosher or something, rather than like an opinion on whether it's like us or not.
Yeah, you can have a svek sveka metzias also. A lot of the Gemara's cases of Svek Sveik are Svek Sveik and Metzias, right? The classic one in Ksuvis, they have a Suffik Tachtov, Suffik Lo Tachtov, Suffik Oni, Suffik Ratzon. That's a Svek Sveik both in Metzias. It's not, we know the halacha in each case, we just don't know what happened,
right?
So that's a little different. That's a different type of Svek Sveik. The different poskim will use these Svek Sveikas in different ways. Rav Avadya Yosef was wild with the Svek Sveikas. What he would do is he would make a Svek Sveka from two Yesh Omrims in the Shulchan Aruch that the Shulchan Aruch rejected each one. So he held that it doesn't matter. Meaning there's in one area of Halacha there's a Machlokes and the Shulchan Aruch Paskins L'Chumra. In the other area of Halacha there's a Yesh Omrim, the Shulchan Aruch Paskins L'Chumra. But he takes the Yesh Omrim in each one and he's mitzdarif them to a Svek Sveka against the Shulchan Aruch. I'll give you a quick example of that. So you guys know about Bishul Akum, right? So in Bishul Akum, if a Nachri cooks food in your Kalim, what's the status of the Kalim? So the Shulchan Aruch quotes a Yesh Omrim that the Kalim are still kosher. No, the food is kosher, it's just not allowed to eat it because of Bishul Akum. But the Shulchan Aruch paskins that you have to kasher the Kalim. Because the Ikar opinion in the Rishonim is that Bishul Akum trafes up the Kalim. That's issue number one. Issue number two, there's a machlokes if you have hired help in your own home. So there's one opinion in Rishonim that says there's no Bishul Akum by hired help. It's your own, meaning that everybody agrees that if it's an actual, what we call a Shivcha Knanis, there's not Bishul Akum. But if it's let's just say it's hired help. They're not Shivcha, they could quit at any time. It's not, there's no slavery nowadays. So that's not the same din. So still the Ravid maintains that that also has a din of no Bishul Akum. And the Shulchan Aruch quotes it as a Yesh Omrim. And Shulchan Aruch paskins, no, it's still an Isser of Bishul Akum. So many Rabbanim nowadays will be mitzvah. I was blown away when I heard this, but Rabbi Leibowitz, I think, told me, like every Rav in the five towns will paskin this way. That if you have a situation where your hired help cooks in one of your kelim, they'll tell you you don't have to kasher the kli. Why? Because it's feksfeika. The Yeshi Omrim says that that's not called bishalakum, which the Shulchan Aruch rejects. And there's also a Yeshi Omrim which says that even in a real case of bishalakum, you don't have to cover the kasher the kli. So in Meila, you have a feksfeika. But the irony is, those are both feksfeikas that the Shulchan Aruch rejects. Meaning the Shulchan Aruch quotes each Yeshi Omrim and doesn't make the feksfeika. And Afal Pikein, we make the feksfeika. I find that to be a little bit mind-blowing. I don't claim to be knowledgeable in Pesach Halacha, but that's I think a lot of poskim use feksfeikas like that. That's a wild feksfeika. This Rav Soloveitchik's one is pretty easy to understand. That he says that you have the sheet of the Ravid to fall back on just in case the Gaonim are wrong. So he says, but on Friday night, you don't have the sheet of the Ravid to fall back on. So if you're eating before Kiddush, that's bad. During the day, eating before Kiddush, the Ravid would say, what's the problem? You're not doing anything wrong. The Rambam would say, no, you shouldn't do that. But the Ravid says it's okay. So in Meila, we're lenient. That is the sheet of Rav Soloveitchik when it comes to daytime Kiddush. Because you have the sheet of the Vilna Gaon, let's say, he paskins hands down, you have to wash. It's not Kiddush Makom Suda unless you wash. So you have those Zachronim who absolutely accept the opinion of Tosfos, and they don't rely on the Gaonim. So Rav Soloveitchik says, yeah, but if you want to eat at the Kiddush, it's not so bad anyway because you can rely on the Ravid. So if you throw in the Ravid, so that even if you would want to be Machmir, that's not Kiddush Makom Suda unless you wash. So then it's still okay to eat at the Kiddush. That's how you wanted to suggest. What's the nafkamina? So nafkamina number one we mentioned already is you can't do this on Friday night. So to have a Kiddush on Friday night is completely against halacha if you're learning like this. But to have a Kiddush, but the other nafkamina is Shabbos day, what should you do when you go home? You just ate at the Kiddush. What should you do now? You should make Kiddush again. Why? Because you were really only eating at the Kiddush out of a suffik. You ate at the Kiddush because you were relying b'dievin on the sheet of the Ravid. But according to Tosfos, you weren't Yotzi Kiddush yet. So you should go back and make Kiddush at the actual meal a second time, because according to those poskim who only accept the sheet of Tosfos, you weren't Yotzi Kiddush yet. So it's kedai when you get home to make a second Kiddush on a cup of wine so that you're Yotzi Kiddush according to all the opinions. Since it's what we call a milsa deleis batircha avdin on the ravcha de milsa. Right, I'm not a big machmir in my life, but there's a good chumra to take on. You know that it's no big tircha to make another bar priya gafen when you get home before you wash on the Shabbos meal. All right, one last cute thing that relates to what you guys were talking about before we started. Rav Moshe raises a very interesting problem. So you guys were discussing eating pasa babakisnin in a meal format, right? Making, being koveh su'udah on pasa babakisnin. So that's an interesting issue. First of all, there's shitas minakotze elakotze, how much we're talking about over there. How much mizonos do you have to eat in order to be chayev in benching? So let's say you sit down and you have a box of, you have one of those Costco sheet cakes, right? You ever seen those? It's like lifetime supply of cake for like $8.99. Right, so you have one of those Costco sheet cakes. You're going to say, I'm going to take down this cake. I'm going to show it who's boss, and I'm going to eat the whole cake. So that everybody would agree you have to wash and bench before, you know, that for sure. And I don't know if you're still alive at the end, but that for sure you'd be chayev and benching according to every opinion. But let's say the Mishnah Berurah Shita is, if you eat the same amount of mizonos in the context that you would have eaten bread in such a meal. So if you make a chicken sandwich, and the amount of bread contained in a chicken sandwich, but you decide you want to use crackers. You decide, I had this issue come up recently. I was eating in I was having a little picnic for lunch, and I wanted to buy they come with these, I was in a supermarket, so they come with the pretzels and hummus. You know, I was nervous. I was like, maybe you really chayv to wash on that, because basically I'm having lunch, and not like these little snack packs. I'm saying a gazunt amount of pretzels. So if you're going to have your whole lunch is going to be pretzels with hummus, maybe that's already enough to be mechayv you, according to the Mishnah Berurah. You at least have a suffix. Maybe you have to wash. So, yeah.
So without like the have those
Misundos
rules?
Yeah, no, no, thank you. It's a different discussion for a different time. Too complicated. So the pashtus is that the bracha on the roll is mizonos, and even if the bracha on the roll is not, so the way you eat it makes it a motzi. Pashtus is the bracha on the roll is a motzi, but even if you want to argue the bracha on the roll is mizonos, the way you're going to eat it is a manner of kviyasudo anyway, so then you're a little stuck. So the only eitzah you really have is to eat it for dessert. You know, like it's a piece of cake. You're like, oh, I had my delicious airplane meal, and now I'm going to have my delicious cake for dessert. And you eat it, kilu, it's a piece of cake at the end. And I don't know. Even so, it's a little bit iffy. But so yeah, that creates all kinds of problems. But going back to this, so if instead of a chicken sandwich, you just take a bunch of crackers and you put the chicken inside the crackers, Pashta says you'd have to wash on that, at least according to the Mishnah Berurah. So you'd have at least a suffix, maybe you have to wash. So Rav Moshe raises the issue. He says, well, what do you do at a kiddush? You make kiddush, and then you have a bunch, you know, have some cake, and then you have cholent and kugel and poppers and whatever. So you basically ate as much bread as you would have eaten at a normal meal. So he's like, why weren't you chayv to wash at that meal? Meaning the cake was your bread for the meal. So wouldn't you be chayv to wash? So that creates a major problem for kemat every kiddush. So it's so Rav Moshe essentially leaves it as a tzarchia, and he's not sure what to do. Probably what you if you follow Rav Moshe's idea, you shouldn't really eat too much at a kiddush. She's just, if you're going to have a little snack of crackers and and a little bit, small amount of chal, a little piece of kugel, whatever it is, so then okay, I think Rav Moshe would agree you don't wash on that. But if you're going to have a real size meal, and you're also going to have some crackers, then the crackers are going to be the bread of that meal, so then you have a problem. So Shlomo Zalman sort of comes to the rescue on that one, and he says that he doesn't think it's the same thing. He says, when would the Mishnah Berurah say you have to wash when you eat a bread-like amount of mizonos? That's when the mizonos has a shaychus to the rest of the meal. So, for example, the example I gave was that your meal is chicken. Yeah, the inside of the sandwich is chicken. So instead of using a bread to put around the chicken, you're a strange person. So you take two pieces of cake and you put them around the side of the chicken. So, all right, it's a little disgusting, but what?
Chicken and waffles.
Chicken and waffles. No, so that's a shallot. So chicken and waffles, you might not have a problem because it depends how the waffles are made. They might not be possible to kiss them if they're made in a certain way. But the standard, let's say instead of waffles, use cake, right? So chicken and cake. You're like, waffles is not southern enough for me. I want to go chicken and sponge cake, you know? So you put in two big pieces of sponge cake and the chicken inside. Then the Mishnah Berurah would say, you have to wash and bench on that. But if you're just sitting by the kiddush table and you're drinking your wine and then you have a piece of cake, so that you can be yotzei your cake, you have a mizonos and kiddush makom suda, then you go to everything else and you have hot dogs and cholent and everything else. There was no relationship between the mizonos and everything else. That wouldn't be the type of mizonos that you would wash and bench on. That's different. And therefore, he says it's not an issue because the mizonos is not mitzarif to everything else you're eating because they're not made to be eaten in conjunction with one another. Yeah?
So like, at a regular Shabbos, you're like,
so if that was your whole...
I'm saying at a regular meal, you have bread and dips, and then you have schnitzel, poppers, chillin'. Like, so at a kiddush, you have crackers and dips, and then your schnitzel, poppers, chillin'.
Right, so probably Rav Shlomo Zalman would maintain you don't, because you guys have to make ma'arav now?
I
do. You daven already? Okay, if you daven already, I don't mind answering, but if you need to run. Don't stay for the exciting conclusion. Yeah, I think so.
Oh,
it's in the house. Okay, but just run, because I don't want you to miss it. So, yeah, anyway, so I think you're probably still safe according to Rav Shlomo Zalman, because really what you had was a snack of crackers, and then afterwards you... Yes, that's true, but I think afal pikein, it's not replacing bread as like a staple of the meal. It was replacing bread as a separate entity, and then you ran and ate a whole bunch of other food unrelated to the crackers. So if you're going to eat a huge meal full of crackers and dip and then you're full at the end, then you have a problem. But if you're just going to eat some crackers and dip as an introduction to the real stuff, so then maybe it wouldn't be such a problem, because the crackers have nothing to do with the cholent. It's not, you know, they're really two separate entities, and therefore Rav Moshe would say you have a big problem, because that was the amount of bread you would have had in the meal. But Rav Shlomo Zalman would say, nah, they have nothing to do with each other, so therefore you're okay. Anyway, that's some thoughts on the daytime kiddush. Okay.